conveyor belt in every sport. Everybody would know Eddie Irvine, the name, but he didn't win a world title.
At the moment, I think he would be a more widely known sportsman, definitely.
Johnny, I tried.
So Johnny Ray, the one not getting named as a legend, but a world champion. And how many world champions didn't actually make the grade or make the shortlist? It's incredible the number of superstars that we have. Let me speak to the man who was chairing the panel from Sky TV. It's Graham Little. Graham, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Very good, Graham. This is a great discussion point. It's the sort of conversation people have, and then it ends up with, why don't we have a sports museum in Northern Ireland? When you guys go round the table, yourself, Logie, Jackie and Barry as the special guest, I'm sure the conversation went on for a long time. If we look at the clips on YouTube, it is quite condensed, as editing does, but it must have been a hell of a debate.
It was a hell of a debate, and it was a hell of an edit job to get it down to 5.5 minutes. It could have been, it could have been a 1 or 2 hour programme or documentary. Everybody had so much to say about each of the long-listed sports people. We had to have some sort of criterium, otherwise we literally could have had, you know, dozens and dozens of people. So we decided we would limit it to living legends, just to kind of narrow the field a little bit and to reduce the amount of debate. So we ended up with 24 people that we felt merited at least a discussion, and we tried to whittle that down to 3. It was tough. It was good crack as well, though, Frank. It was particularly with Logie and Jackie. They were like 2 old rutting stags, constantly trying to point score and clash with each other. And Barry and I tried to sort of referee and provide the perhaps more reasoned analysis. But it was brilliant. It was actually just great sitting with those guys who, between them, you know, taking myself out of it, even with Jackie and Logie and Barry, who'd been involved in sport together for well over a century, if you add them all up. So much expertise and so much experience. And it was just great to get their opinions on people from different sports and from different eras. It was fun.
Now, the 24, it's so difficult to even shortlist 24. Am I right in believing that Jerry Armstrong didn't even make the 24?
Yes, there'll be lots of controversy. What Harp wanted to do, really, Harp Lager asked me to try and pull this thing together to celebrate Northern Ireland sports. It wasn't like we were trying to exclude anybody at any point. We were just trying to celebrate the enormous amount of success and the enormous amount of legends that this little country has produced in the last half a century. So we had to make cuts somewhere. And, you know, certainly Jerry's name came up early on, and the argument was that, you know, there was a squad of 23 players that went to the World Cup in 82 and another 23 that went to the World Cup in 86. You couldn't have them all in there. So we had to have a selection from there. And I felt that Billy Bingham, given that Northern Ireland have only been to 3 World Cups, he was there as a player in the 50s and then twice as a manager in the 80s. Now, he definitely needed to be included. And we looked at the other players in there, Pat Jennings, who, as Jackie was saying and Logie was saying, in any day in any of those World Cups, if they were selecting a World 11, he would have been one of the first names down. So you can't not have somebody who was not just there for Northern Ireland, but actually one of the best in the world at that time. And also in there, Martin O'Neill, who has since gone on to do great things as a manager, but even just as a player. Remember, Martin O'Neill won the European Cup. Now, that's something that Jerry, unfortunately, didn't get close enough to doing. So we just felt that, yes, Jerry scored probably the most famous goal in Northern Ireland football history, but there were other people in that squad that we felt a better argument could be made for them.
Yeah, and you were pretty strict, and you had obviously to narrow it down, and everyone will have their own sport that they would cast an eye over. Whenever you got to the golf, and obviously Rory has achieved so much by the age of 26 that he's going to be there. You can remind us, some people may already know, the three living legends, and I more or less agree with you on the three living legends. Rory McIlroy is one of them. Talk us through the other two.
It was tough. We got from 24 down to 9 with a reasonable amount of debate, but then distilling that 9 down to 3 was very difficult. There was one person, though, however, that we were unanimously agreed upon, AP McCoy. Just, you know, none of us looked past him. In fact, Logie even said, I'm going to put him in this pile without even any debate. Is there any debate? And we all just went, no, absolutely not. You know, 20 years at the very top of his sport, all sorts of records that he has set that will never be broken. Let's be straight about that. Nobody's ever going to get close to the amount of winners that Tony Rode. Just an extraordinary human being. So he was the one unanimous choice of everybody. The next choice that we agreed on eventually was Rory. Jackie was one of the sort of dissenting voices saying, look, you know, he felt that Rory was too young to be given that kind of legendary status. And the word legend is a difficult word because it's come to mean different things for different reasons, and we throw it about all the time at the moment. But Jackie felt that in order to be a legend, you had to have been around for a lot longer than Rory's been around. But I counter-argued that, and Logie counter-argued that, and Barry did as well, by saying, look, if Rory was 66 and he'd won 4 majors and 2 Ryder Cups and been world number one for so many consecutive weeks, he would be without a doubt in the best 3 in Northern Ireland. So just the fact that he's 26 to us was irrelevant. So we agreed then that was Tony McCoy and Rory were 2 of the 3. The third one was a matter of much more debate. My choice going into the debate had been Willie John McBride, because I felt that if you're a rugby player from Ireland, the highest accolade that you can aspire to being is to being a British and Irish Lion. And Willie John not only achieved that in 5 different tours, but he also captained that tour, the winning tour, the famous tour in 1974, the Invincibles, when they went to South Africa and they were never beaten. And no Lions team has managed to achieve that since. And to have a man from Ballymena working in the bank and being a part-time rugby player, but one of the greatest and most famous rugby players that ever lived, I just felt he certainly had to be in the top 3. However, everybody else argued for Pat Jennings. And that was the debate. It basically came down to Willie John and Pat, and Barry had the final say, and Barry decided that due to the greater profile of football, that Pat merited inclusion. And, you know, given that Pat played at the very highest, played international football for 22 years, had then a world record number of caps, he's still Northern Ireland's most capped player, that Pat really deserved the position. And I agreed then that because football is the most widely played sport in the world, certainly more widely played than rugby now, and certainly more widely played than rugby in the 70s, Pat was at the top of a much wider based tree. So I agreed then that Pat should be the 3, and everybody else did too. So the final 3 were Rory McIlroy, AP McCoy, and Pat Jennings. That was the 3 heartbreaker giants of Northern Ireland sport. But I'm sure everybody else will have a contrary opinion, Frank.
Well, I've got a feeling that, you know, you wouldn't be far away with a 3. I want you to stay there with me, Graham, because I want to have a word with Barry, who's available to have a conversation with us. Barry, good morning. Let me see, you'll be on this line. My apologies. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning. How are you, Frank?
All good, Barry. You were part of this team. You they invited you in to select you. Was that so as they couldn't crown you the king? I know. I watched the clip, and you refused. You refused to take the accolades that they were steering in your direction, Barry.
It was a fairly embarrassing position for me because it's not embarrassing, but it's just I didn't want to be down because there were so many great sportsmen. It's incredible when you actually go through it, and I'm sure Graham will agree, you go through them and then you start to resonate and think, how many great athletes did we produce in this small country of ours? Incredible amount of athletes who reached the very dizzy heights and, you know, went on and on and on, and it was just very difficult because they all had merits in their own positions and they all done so well in their sport and carried themselves so well and were such great representatives. It was very difficult, and I got to the stage where I want to get myself out of this scenario. I mean, Adrian was very opinionated, as was Jackie, and Graham was sort of kind of playing a referee, and I was being bounced around there, and I just thought, oh, I better duck out of this here, you know.
Well, I watched the clips, and I have to say that, you know, some of the comments really coming from you and coming from the other sporting commentators, you would have to agree with most of what was said. But even the boxing, you know, you're reminded of the likes of Dave Boy had achieved so much. Obviously, Carl, modern day, but yeah. Dave Boy McCauley, you know, could argue, is a legend.
Well, he is a legend. There's no doubt about that. I mean, it's not about whether they're legends or not. I think it's about, you know, what sort of crossover appeal, and there's so many sort of pieces of criteria that you actually decide. Of course, Davy McCauley, and then you go back to Wayne McCullough, and you can go way back to someone like John McNally, who won the silver medal in 1952 in Helsinki. Then you go to Johnny Caldwell and Freddie Gilroy, who won bronze medals in 1956. Johnny Caldwell also went on and won the world title. Jim McCourt back in 1960. Then modern day fighters like Paddy Barnes, double Olympic bronze medalist. Michael Conlon, bronze medalist, and won the first inaugural world gold medal for Ireland. So, you know, it just goes round and round.
Let me stop you there for a second. I've said it to Graham already, and you've just listed boxers. There could be a museum to boxing, never mind to sport. Why haven't we got a sports museum in this country?
Well, that's a good... I think you have to ask the executive and ask the various people that are responsible for sport, I suppose. I mean, it's a very good point, because you look at Darren Clark, Graham Maddow, Rory McIlroy, you look at rugby, Willie John, Mike Gibson, you look at Mary Peters, Dennis Taylor, Martin O'Neill, Pat Jennings, AP McCoy, Richard Dunwoody, the list goes on and on. It's and then motorsport, you know, and it's just incredible. I mean, Jimmy Kirkwood, Eddie Irvine, Johnny Ray, God help him, Joey Dunlop, and It's incredible, and the
obvious ones who've passed away as well, like George and Alex,
and you know, and so many amazing.
We are crying out for a sports museum. They'd be queuing up to go to visit it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's incredible what we've done in sport, and I think what Harp actually, the fact that they sponsor events like this and allow us to put them on, you know, and it's sort of synonymous with sport. You know, the bottom line is, if you look at what we have done in sport during particularly the troubled periods, and what sport allowed people to have a release from that, and it's incredible. I mean, it really is incredible, and I agree with you. I think it would be great to have a sporting museum. No doubt about it.
Barry, a couple of questions before you go. I have to ask you about Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
I thought he was all mouth. Obviously not.
I mean, we all said that he was all mouth and no trousers, but he proved on Saturday night that he's got something about him. Let's be honest, it was an ugly fight, but sometimes you got to win ugly. And he got the job done. He beat the reigning champion, the unified champion. Well, he's got three of the versions of the title. But I thought it wasn't a very good fight, but I thought he did what was necessary to win the fight, and I thought he clearly won it, and it's amazing that he's actually, it's just amazing that he's at 27 years old, the world heavyweight champion, and I don't know how long his reign's going to be, but there's some very exciting fights out there for him. David Hayes there, this great young athlete, Anthony Joshua's there. The heavyweight title, certainly in these small islands, is going to be very exciting over the next couple of years.
Apparently he's saying this morning he wouldn't fight Hay, but is that all part of the hype?
Well, I think they have a bit of history, because Hay pulled out of the fight the last time, but I know that he's very badly injured himself, because my son Shane is training him at the moment, and he's in the best shape of his life. He's had 3 years out where he's allowed himself to recover from all the injuries, and he's in the best shape of his life. He's definitely back in the mix. He's fighting a guy called Mark Damore, number 8 in the world, and he's fighting him on the 16th of January, and he'll be right back into the mix then. And then, of course, Anthony Joshua, who's this incredible young heavyweight guy, 17 and a half stone, 6'6", runs 100 metres in 11 seconds, and Olympic gold super heavyweight champion. So, you know, the division is really hotting up. And then we've got the other great fighter from America, Deontay Wilder, who was over here sparring with Hay. And it's the heavyweight division, which is the shop window of our sport, is very exciting again. And once that's exciting, the rest of the sport is exciting. For us, with Frampton and Quigg in February, one of the biggest anticipated fights in these small islands in 30 years, honestly. It's in the division's history, there's never been a bigger fight. The rush for tickets was silly, and we just didn't have enough. And it's gone mad. So the game is flying. It's never been better. And boxing's thriving at the moment.
There is no doubt about that. Your fellow must be some trainer when he's in training Hay and whatever. He must, you know, what is it that he has? Like, he's like a male model, and he's also a brilliant trainer.
Well, that's very kind of you. Don't say that, his head's big enough. In fact, Carl will love all that. The banter in the gym is fantastic. He really knows his stuff. He was Irish under 21 champion, Ulster senior champion, boxed over here and won the ABA novices over here. So he understands the game. I trained him like a professional. He just has got it. He's got it. He understands strength and conditioning, diet. He gets Carl down to like 3% body fat. Remarkable. He just understands the game far more patient than me, understands it better. is a far better coach than I could ever have been. So he's just got it, and he's very lucky. And obviously he's only 27 years old, got a long future ahead of him. So we hope to be in the game a long time, and we hope to bring through as many world champions as we can. It's great working with him. It's just a pleasure.
I bet it is. I bet it is, Barry. Thanks for speaking to us on the programme. That final question I was going to ask you is, Carl at Christmas, does he get a Christmas at all when he's preparing for a fight, or will he be locked away?
No. You know, bear in mind that it's the 27th of February, so it's the end of February. We've got all of January, we've got all of February. We're now just entering December, so he's starting to spar already. His weight's down, he's on the weight, he's very strong and fit. So we sort of gradually increase his sparring, increase his training. He can have a couple of days at home. Often a rest is the most important thing you can do to let your body recover. He's got two fabulous young children and a gorgeous wife, Christine. The kids are beautiful kids, and he's going to have a week at home with them, but he'll train the whole way through it, and then we get back over here and we just put the head down again. So it's, of course, he can have a period of time at home. He's very much a family man, and he needs to see them. It's important for his morale.
Barry, great speaking to you, fella. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me, Frank.
Continued success. Barry McGuigan there, one of our living legends without a doubt. But Graham, the final three were Rory McIlroy, indeed AP, and Pat Jennings. There was many a debut and a discussion, and if you want to go, indeed, I'll let you tell us where you can go on, I think it's up on one of the social media sites, isn't it, on YouTube?
Yes, it's if you find Harp Liger on Facebook or Harp Liger on YouTube, you'll be able to find it in both directions, and I think some of the local press are starting to carry it all as well. So we hope it sparks a lot of debate. You know, there'll never be, this being Northern Ireland, there'll never be a consensus on the three greatest living legends, because everybody will have an opinion, but hopefully we covered most bases, I think. I mean, we haven't even mentioned Gaelic games, and Logie was making the point that anybody that played GAA, you know, we selected three. Obviously, Logie, two of them were for Tyrone.
Yes, I have to say, I saw the Sean O'Neill, one of the greatest players of all time from County Down. Sean O'Neill, yeah. Peter Canavan, obviously, and Mickey Hart, and you couldn't get a better man than Mickey Hart. But I have to say, if he was selecting three, why didn't he choose Paddy Doherty as well? But that's what the debate is all about, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, we looked at it pragmatically as well as through Logie's Tyrone eyes, and he was. You know, my argument was for someone like Sean O'Neill, people still talk about, but Logie said, if you ask Sean O'Neill would tell you to put Peter Canavan in. Logie said Peter Canavan was, you know, one of the greatest players ever, and that he had to be included. And even if you look at what he won, you know, he won absolutely everything. Logie's point in terms of Gaelic games was none of those guys, or certainly not Peter or Sean O'Neill, could not have done any more in their sport. You know, Sean had three All-Irelands, Peter had two, but Peter also had six All-Stars, numerous Ulster titles, an Under-21 title, a minor title. You know, he couldn't have achieved anything further. And it's not his fault that game doesn't have the same international appeal as football is in soccer or rugby. But we had to, you know, we had to establish the criteria, and part of that we felt was international impact. You know, people that resonated beyond Northern Ireland, and that's ultimately what our three living legends, giants of NI sport, had. You know, Jackie made the point, they're all known by one name only. If you walk down London, you mentioned Big Pat, they'd know you meant Pat Jennings. If you mentioned AP, they'd know you meant AP McCoy. And if you started talking about Rory, they'd know you meant Rory McIlroy. And that's certainly a pretty hard and fast criteria for a legend, I think.
Yeah, but you also know Logie, like Graham. Thank you.
That's
true. Cheers, boy. Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome, Frank.
You know, if you want to go to the Harp site on YouTube, you can follow the debate and the discussion there. So the three living legends of Northern Irish sport, as finally agreed, are AP McCoy, Rory McIlroy, and Pat Jennings.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Here for you.